Hey, good morning and welcome back to the Help Me Understand podcast. I am with Janelle here this morning, and we're going to talk a little bit about personal growth and continuing to help educators see that owning their own learning is probably their best bet into being the best educator and best support for their community they can be. So welcome, Janelle.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having me.
You bet. This podcast is all about kind of just helping everyone to understand all of these little things and all these little pieces of nuance that go into education and go into life. So thanks for helping us to understand a little bit about this kind of personal growth journey. How did you start thinking about that?
Well, it's something that I've always thought about kind of indirectly, right? I was a classroom teacher for a long time, and I was constantly reflecting on the fly is how I like to say it, you know, adjusting lessons and just adjusting instruction to meet the needs of the student. But it's just been recently when I saw, I actually heard another podcast and somebody was complaining about a speaker that a district brought in and how everybody had to give up time to go listen to the speaker, and this person really didn't think it applied to them. And they were complaining about that. And I just started thinking, why are you waiting around for your district to bring in somebody who's going to pertain to every single person? It'll never happen. And so we can't put our own professional growth on the shoulders of someone else. And so it made me spend some time really intentionally reflecting on how I've driven my own growth throughout my career. And it took me back to early days of teaching. Probably like the third or fourth year in, maybe the fifth year, you know, it was beyond the just surviving years at the very beginning of my career. But I realized that I hated teaching writing. And when I had taken a job my third year of teaching in a new district, and I was by far the baby of the team. I think all the other teachers on my team were my mom's age, and they just taught in a very different way than what I wanted to teach and was used to teaching prior to coming to that school. And I remember them giving me this huge list of writing prompts, and that was how I was supposed to teach writing to my second graders. And I just thought how boring it was. I dreaded teaching it every day. I don't think I got good writing samples from my students because I was expecting them all to write to the same prompts. So I started to investigate writer's workshop. There was only one other teacher in my school that was doing it, and this is going to date myself a little bit, but it was before you just Googled everything, right? And so I had to go and find actual professional books on writer's workshop. And I remember finding some resources from Ralph Fletcher and just started putting some of those aspects and strategies into place in my own writing curriculum. And immediately saw a difference in student engagement and in my own excitement about teaching the writing. So I continued to grow in just the whole process behind a writer's workshop framework. And I was getting amazing results for my students, which continued to help me want to build that out. Fast forward a few years, and my principal asked me to be the literacy coordinator for our school. I was still teaching full time. It really just meant that I got to lead some PD during staff meetings. But I started teaching other people about writer's workshop. And then fast forward a couple more years after that, and I wrote the English language arts curriculum for my grade level. So I got to put writer's workshop in there as something that we were all doing at that grade level. So that was one of the earliest times that I can identify setting a goal for my own professional growth and driving it completely on my own. There was no administrator pushing me. There was no one giving me materials. It was all something that I had to investigate on my own based on my own area of need. That really came out of something that I dreaded doing, not really a passion area, but definitely turned into one, to where teaching writing ended up being my favorite thing to teach my students every day. And yeah, I have definitely grown myself as a writer throughout that process as well.
Yeah, so much good stuff there. And I think the wisdom that bubbles up is this idea about discovery and investigation being at the core of things that you're passionate about. If someone comes and tells you shall do this, it's hard to get jazzed about that. But if you have some space and time for exploration, that's an amazing way to grow as a professional, but grow as a person. When you go into schools and you work with a lot of schools and districts, how are you promoting that professional growth? How are you modeling that? How are you getting people to take those first steps?
So I think that's my favorite thing about what I do now is that I get to work with the same cohort of teachers, principals, instructional coaches continually throughout a school year or multiple years in some districts. And it's all one-on-one. And so I work with them on setting goals. And almost every educator has had to set goals for their building or for their district at some point. But I don't know that anybody actually helps them refine those goals. So most of the time, the goals are super vague and super broad and not very actionable. So that's step one, is we really work on drilling that down. But the best part is the people I work with get to write their own goal based on either a passion area or an area of need. And so it becomes very personalized from the beginning. And then all of my work with them is job embedded. So they get to directly apply and reflect and learn from what they're doing on a regular basis.
Yeah, and I think that's the hard part. There's no like unicorn professional development that applies to everyone very well. It's all in this, how does that affect my room, my space, the kids I have influence over? And so how do you funnel that, right? So we all are filled with amazing ideas every day. How do you help folks take those just kind of what might seem like wacky, tangential ideas and really get them to where they're impacting kids?
So I think the key is, beyond writing that goal, is to write an action plan. I sometimes think that the action steps are more important than the actual goal itself. So I work with those teachers to help them write down at least two next steps, actionable items that will help drive toward that goal before I meet with them again. And then when I do go and meet with them, I'm usually observing something that they're doing, leading a group of teachers or leading a group of students, depending on their role. And then we get to sit and just dive deep into reflection over what we just saw. And so I think that most of the growth comes through that debrief session where they really are intentionally reflecting. And then they have to set more action steps. So it's just this action plan that continues to build until they reach that goal or until they need to refine that goal. I think it's important that we give ourselves permission to change a goal if it's not working the way we thought it was going to, or we find it's not what we need, or it's not what the people that we're working with need anymore.
Interesting. And I think that kind of academic growth or personal kind of, you know, professional growth around learning and teaching has to be coupled with some other things, right? So as you're helping coach about those things, do you find yourself wandering into kind of life coach as well? Or, I mean, you know, we're talking about, you know, human beings that aren't just their brain, but it's their heart and their soul and their body. And how do you balance all of that out and help teachers with that?
Well, I think it always boils down to building that relationship. And so I try to form relationships with the people I work with from the very beginning so that they know they can tell me that stuff. I'm fine. I've had so many teachers talk to me about personal issues going on in their lives. And I have to listen to them, get those out of the way before I can ever expect them to work on professional growth, just like we see with students. If we're not meeting students' basic life needs, then we can't expect them to grow academically in our classes either. So it carries over into adult learners. And I think how I balance it most is lots of listening. Just listen, ask questions if I need to in order to help them drill down, and then just be an open ear for them as they want to share whatever they want to share. And some do and some don't. And most of what we do in the classroom applies to life as well. And I'm glad you brought that up. I'm actually working with a life coach myself because I feel like we all need coaches no matter where we are professionally in life. And that life coach has helped me grow professionally regardless of what we're talking about.
Yeah, and I think it applies both. All of that stuff feeds the same train, right? And so, you know, one of the things I've always valued is kind of a lateral capacity building. If I learn about playground design, if I learn about horticulture, I'm finding connections back into my professional realm. So I was just wondering, on your personal growth, where outside of education are you finding yourself learning and being intrigued and discovering that you're finding that's supporting your coaching work?
So this is going to sound like a long way to get there, but I love to garden, and I don't have like vegetable garden and fruit gardening, and I don't get to do that as much anymore with my current work. But when I do, one of the things that I love the most is experimenting with foods and with recipes and creating new things and making and canning my own marinara sauce. You know, there's all these different things that go with that, and that is my maker space. When I think about inquiry and challenge-based learning and makerspace, I think we all have this creative outlet if only we look for it, and mine happens to involve food. So when I get to work and experiment with food, it totally plays over into what I do professionally, because I have to have this growth mindset, this willingness to try and fail and learn from those mistakes, if you want to call them that, and in order to make something better. So it works with recipes just like it works with professional learning.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's a long way around at all. I think that our hobbies and our ability to create, make, and design definitely influence what we bring to the classroom or we bring to the adult learning process. And so I always think that if someone's void of that, it's really hard to find themselves making those transfers and to notice what's around them as pieces of learning. So if you were giving some advice, right, to coach, a leader, a teacher, where do they start? Like, some people might feel like they're in a rut, that they have momentum and inertia pushing back around their growth. They are just absorbing whatever resources that school district builds and gives to them. Where can they start this personal growth journey that doesn't feel like a huge, overwhelming starting place or first step?
Mm-hmm. I think it has to start with reflection. And I come back to reflection a lot in this growth cycle, but I think it has to start with people taking time to sit down and think through. I always ask people to write down a list of things that they're passionate about or that they're interested in. So starting with areas that excite them. And it doesn't even have to be work-related. I just tell them to write down anything that they're excited about, passionate about, interested in learning more about. But then I also ask them to write down things that other people think that they're really good at. And again, doesn't have to be related professionally. Usually I have to make people really stretch their thinking on that because we're in a professional environment, so they always funnel their thinking through that work lens. But then ask them to reflect on areas that they feel like they need to grow in or improve in or that they want to learn more about. And so once people, and they don't need me leading them through that, once people just sit and reflect on that stuff too, then it's easier to start looking for trends and patterns and pulling out what excites you the most. And I kind of think that's where you let feelings take over, where your heart gets to lead your brain on this one. What is most appealing out of that list? What jumps out? What keeps bubbling to the top? And then from that, start crafting that goal and that action plan to put things into place. I think some key pieces are, who are you going to learn from, or where are you going to grab the resources that are going to be able to feed your growth? And that changes. Like I talked about when I was learning about Writer's Workshop, my resources were the books I found and the other teacher in my school. But as I've changed and grown, I now reach out to a lot of people on Twitter and LinkedIn and Instagram even for growth. So I think you change on where you're getting those resources and who's helping you based on what your goals are. But all of those are key pieces to put together that action plan. And it doesn't have to be anything big and formal, but I think it's important to, one, write it down, and two, share it with someone. It's always good to have some kind of accountability partner to be able to check in with and make sure that you are continuing to work towards that goal.
Yeah, so a couple final questions. One, let me be your accountability partner. Where are you hoping to grow around topics of education in the near future? What are you excited about? What are you interested in? What do you want to know more about going forward?
Well, I've recently been asked to do some more work around coding, computer science, and gaming. And while I do a ton of work around authentic technology integration, those are three areas that don't usually play a huge part in what I do. So that is a big place to learn and to grow for me, is those three areas. And funny, but my son, who's 13, is super excited to teach me everything there is to know about gaming.
Hey, anytime you can have a connection with a 13-year-old boy that leads to a conversation that's beyond one word or a grunt, you should take it. That's my advice as a former middle school principal. And then final question, if folks want to learn with you, what's the best way for them to connect with your work? And I'll make sure I put that in the show notes as well.
My website is innovativeeducationsolutions.net, and every link to all of my social media connections are on there. I am on just about every social media platform, so people can find me and connect with me there. My email and my cell number are on my website as well. So lots of ways to contact me, and I love working with people in any area.
Awesome. And I would just say my part of my personal growth model is to read a lot of different people putting out a lot of different content. And Janelle has a great newsletter that comes out monthly that has some great links and some great ideas. So Janelle, thanks for joining me. And thanks for helping me to understand this idea about personal growth and personal learning.
Thanks, Bob. It's been fun.